This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, it's Tim Echols, and I'm a commissioner, but I'm not a super commissioner, Casey. And we got one.
Well,
in
we
the
think
studio.
You're super, Tim.
Well, okay, Casey. Yeah. Let me hand you another piece of candy over there. Thanks so much. But our guest today, a longtime friend, Commissioner Ted Terry, former mayor of Clarkston. Commissioner, it is so good to have you back in the studio.
Very good to be here. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, we've known each other quite a while. I think we met on my Clean Energy Roadshow back in the day when I was first doing that, when Republicans thought I was absolutely zany for doing something like that. But
you were a forward thinker on that. Back in the day, folks were like, wait a second, where are you going to charge?
Yeah. Where are you going to
fuel this at?
Now, all of a sudden, we are, as the governor said at his inauguration, he wants Georgia to be the EV capital of America.
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen? You can get an amen. Well, you served as mayor in Clarkston, and you did some very cool energy stuff, and we're going to want to talk about that. Now you are a district commissioner in DeKalb County. Frankly, one of the counties, and Casey will attest to this, that we've given Energy Matters awards to. Mm-hmm. DeKalb County has done more than any other county with alternative fuel, and I know you guys are proud of that.
Absolutely. Well, Director Robert Gordon, he actually just won the Fleet Manager of the Year of the nation this year for his work on just one being a great public servant, but also in really leading the way for years now in alternative fuels, first with the natural gas conversion. And then just in the last 2 years, we have adopted our own commitment to transition to a 100% electric vehicle fleet by 2050, but we think we can make a lot of progress in the meantime. And he's already on track to buy 70 electric vehicles, and these are pickup trucks, these are police cruisers, these are day-to-day rank-and-file government duties that require, maybe 20, 30 miles a day. So these are perfect, and he has been a great leader. So Director Robert Gordon, very proud of him. I think he's been on the show a few times,
multiple times.
So, yes, we're very proud. And then we're just going to keep the train going on this electric vehicle work.
Casey, they've also piped some gas out of landfills and run vehicles on it. And if you go to the Coke syrup plant, and if folks are from Atlanta, if you're driving from Metro Atlanta down I-75, heading to the south side, heading to Macon, right at the Central Avenue exit where the Porsche facility is and, of course, the Chick-fil-A original Dwarf House, most importantly, if you look off to the left, you see right there, almost hanging out over the interstate, three engines there that are running on a natural gas from a DeKalb County landfill that is piped 8 miles from that landfill to that Coke syrup plant, generating clean electricity. Casey, that's so cool.
That's awesome. And, we've talked about it on the show before, but just for our listeners, the reason that this is so important is it's taking something that's waste, right? It's landfill. And methane comes up as this waste is decomposing. It's a big, potent greenhouse gas. And it's turning it into something that's valuable, energy for these plants. And even though, burning it creates CO2, that's a lot better than the methane. And, that would just be going up into the air anyway.
Ted, you guys have really been just forward-thinking in every regard when it comes to energy.
Well, look, I mean, that landfill has been taking waste for decades, right? And so to a certain extent, I mean, that, to Casey's point, that's going to be emitted no matter what. So let's go ahead and capture it, pipe it, use it as a cleaner burning fuel source. Now, one of the things I've been working on is the next 50 years of our landfills. And the biggest thing that we're seeing right now is the opportunity as we move to more electric-based vehicles how do we make sure that the emissions in future landfill decades is even lower? And so we're embarking on a big composting operation that is taking food waste out of the system. Now, that's going to reduce the amount of methane, right? Also reduce the smells, because in DeKalb County, we have the last remaining active landfill in the metropolitan area. And for better or for worse, we've got thousands of homes that live within half a mile of it. And they're very concerned because they smell it every day. So we are working on plans to develop a 15 to 20 acre industrial composting facility, take all of our yard waste, which we already mulch and do the basic composting, and then take our food waste, mix it together, make some really good soil. It's better carbon sequestration. It's going to support our gardeners, our farmers, and our landscapes. And it's better for the environment. It's healthy soils. It's going to help reduce and the water runoff. A big part of greenhouse gas emissions actually comes from the water cycle. And so if we can even retain that storm water, sink it into the ground, it just helps the total overall carbon footprint.
Ted, can you talk a little bit about what that composting is going to look like for DeKalb County residents? Because it's not the same as just having a compost pile in your backyard, is it?
Exactly. We're talking about industrial scale. And while a lot of cities have experimented with curbside compost collections for residences, we actually believe the first step is actually all of the larger users. These are the restaurants. These are the senior centers, the jail.
The school.
The schools. Yeah. I mean, they're producing thousands of tons and at one kitchen location, right? So logistically, it makes more sense to have big collection sites where they have big users. Now, we've already been partnering with Avondale Estates to do we have applied for a grant with the EPA to do a curbside compost collections in Avondale. They got about 800 curbside subscribers. And so if we get that grant, we can begin to kind of pilot out the logistics of how do we add what in essence is a third bin to the curbside collections.
And you can compost stuff that a normal homeowner can't, right? Like you can compost meat and bones and stuff like that. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. So the garden compost bins aren't going to get as hot as you really need them to. And so when you start doing the big industrial size composting, you can bring in the actual compostable materials. These are the kinds that you can now buy at the grocery store. They're the little clamshells from the restaurants, the utensils, other sort of harder to break down items that gets really hot. The bacteria is really going in there, and it's going to actually just make a much better product, and you won't have less waste.
You know, Casey, this is so significant for a couple reasons. DeKalb County does most of their own trash collection, right, Ted?
All of it.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Casey, this is not the case for hardly any county. I mean, you got a few cities collecting, but most of them are hiring, you know, Republic Waste Management, whoever. And these companies out there have told county leaders, city leaders, look, glass recycling, it's not really, you know, financially feasible, so we're not going to do it and just throw it in your regular, you know, landfill container. DeKalb County, and I really believe this industrial composting program that Ted and the team over there is leading the way on, could lead to bigger things. And let me explain. I was recently in Taiwan, and Taiwan, at the curb, when it's your trash hour, and they pick up daily, when it's your trash hour in the evening, and I was standing there on the sidewalk watching this, I videoed it, Ted. The trash trucks drive up. They sound like an ice cream truck. They're playing ice cream truck music. And up drives a, quote, general waste truck, the shallow, and then behind it, a recycling truck that's white. And then out of the recycling truck come these large, heavy-duty containers that the guys lift out for your compost. And I watched people queue up on the Taiwanese street in Taipei and put into the trash truck themselves their general waste in a blue bag, which they have to purchase. And then a clear bag for their recycling so that the worker can see if you're putting the right stuff in. And then dumping that slop, banana peels, rice, you know, fish guts, everything into this compost bucket. And it didn't matter how you brought it. You just poured it in there. And all that was in that was slop. And it was going to be composted for soil supplement and put into swine feed. That is the gold standard.
Quite remarkable. And I have never been to Taiwan. I hope to visit. I have had friends. My wife has visited there as part of a leadership exchange with Georgia leaders, actually. They do a program where they bring Georgia leaders over to Taiwan. So I've heard about what you're talking about. You know, one thing that's really, just to kind of back up, you know, 30,000 feet, you know, we know that there are societies and economies around the world where sustainability is not just like a fad. It's a way of life. Because abundance is not blessed upon them. Taiwan is a tiny island nation. In America, in Georgia, we are blessed with abundance. We actually have sort of the prerogative to say, well, we could be more sustainable, but we don't have to be necessarily because we have such abundance. And I think one of the things that we're trying to, you know, show is that with sustainability, not only brings benefits to the environment, but it brings fiscal sustainability. It means you can save money, you can create jobs, you can create new economic opportunity where it might not exist. This is always a challenge because it's very easy for us just to throw it in the landfill. We got plenty of landfill space here, there. I was riding into, you know, Athens this morning, and there was a big old landfill, you know, right outside on the Google map, looked pretty big. So we have to recognize that, you know, it is a challenge. It's a blessing to have abundance, but sometimes we can kind of, you know, take it for granted.
When we come back, a special On the Road segment with Thompson Gas as they try to help school systems that maybe want electric school buses, but for whatever reason can't get them, and they're looking for a cleaner alternative. And then in segment three, we'll have Commissioner Terry back in here and talk about the DeKalb Green New Deal that he's working on, his time as mayor, and some of the other neat stories that he's got. This is Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters. Hey, Tim Echols here for GEM Car Wraps. GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicle. So check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit. And the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show.
We interrupt this episode of Energy Matters to take you outdoors.
On the road again.
Hey, Tim Echols back on Energy Matters in Cartersville, Georgia with Monty McLeod. Monty, you work with Thompson Gas. You guys are propane equipment distributors as well as propane distributors?
Yes, that's correct. So we are nationwide and have a very strong presence here in Georgia.
I mean, everybody knows propane. They have it on their grill. They cook their food with it and ingest it in their body. So you wouldn't do that with gasoline or diesel, of course. But when it comes to fueling things like school buses and shuttle buses, maybe people aren't quite aware of just how expansive propane fueling has gotten to be.
Absolutely. There are over 20,000 propane school buses on the road right now, and it may be 30 after this year. But the issue here with what we're providing, this infrastructure, is that the decision to go with propane is pretty easy on a school bus. It's less expensive. The maintenance is less. It's quieter. It's better for the children, and it's extremely safe. But the issue's always been infrastructure. How are we going to fuel these things? And that's a decision that that superintendents of transportation just aren't used to making. So we've tried to provide a solution here for them that's simple. It's off-grid. We can talk about that in a minute. But it's extremely safe, operates just like gasoline or diesel as far as the dispensing. And once we get these in place, school districts have loved it.
I regulate Atlanta Gas Light along with my colleagues, and we've set up some special natural gas fueling tariffs, and it's a couple million dollars to build out a CNG facility. And if you have access to a pipe, it's all well and good. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of bus depots around the state that don't have access to natural gas, and propane is really their best option.
Absolutely. And we also, you know, we've integrated other renewables in the system. We use solar to power the batteries, to run the pump. We use a propane generator. We're basically, what we have here is a microgrid. And it's expandable. We don't have it here with us today, but I can add a module onto this system that will charge EV vehicles as well using propane. So we're creating energy on site. We're not plugging into the grid at all. It makes it very easy to find a location where you can put these. Permitting is a lot less because we're not doing construction. We're not doing any electrical. And it's basically mobile. We can put it anywhere that you needed to go as long as we're within code limits. So we've really tried to take all of that off of the decision making process and put this together so that it's simple, easy, and we can it's expandable.
So let's just say that propane has really become mainstream, because Bluebird Buses down in Fort Valley, they're making propane buses every single day.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's half of their production right now is propane.
And it's got to be because it's so easy. It's the easy button. I mean, you guys pulled up here, you know, with a flatbed. You unloaded this thing. It's sitting on, you know, a skid. Beside the tank, the propane tank, and maybe a lot of people have seen a propane, smaller propane tank in their backyard, maybe something about probably a third of this size, right? And then you've got it attached, in this case, to a generator. What is the purpose of this off-grid setup over here to my left?
Well, the biggest issue really with infrastructure in the past has been you had to place it where you could find three-phase electrical power. That wasn't always the best place to put it. So it was very, very expensive to run power to the point where you wanted to go, if you could even get it there. The more we're relying on our grid, especially around Atlanta and other big cities, to power our vehicles, the more strain we're putting on it. So what we're trying to do is use, you know, we can use renewable propane here. We're using wind power, we're using solar, we're trying to capture everything we can and create an off-grid solution. The other thing is when you run power from a power plant to where you're going to plug in, you're losing like 62% of that energy from what was created. When we're creating it 6 feet away, you get 100% of everything that you're putting in is coming back out. It's extremely efficient and checks all the boxes with environmental too. I mean, we're trying to be environmentally responsible as well.
If you're just joining us, talking to Monty McLeod with Thompson Gas, propane gas, and I'm looking at his propane fueling solution, off-grid facility. This was brought in on a truck. I'm looking at the big propane tank. How many gallons is this? 1,500?
This is a 1,000-gallon tank.
1,000 gallons. And over to my left is, let's just walk over here. I've got a solar panel, a couple of them. I've got a propane generator. And is this the switch gear in this box?
Right. This is the electronics here. The electronic system is actually, we can do remote diagnostics on it. So we can, wherever we put this, we can figure out if there's an issue and how to fix it. In colder climates, we use heat from the generator to keep the electronics warm. In warm climates like Georgia and Texas, it's got fans. I mean, it is fully self-contained. Even the battery that we're using, because I know there's a fear with batteries, them overheating and fires and things, it's got a fire suppression system built into it. So it's unbelievable. We've taken every precaution to make this thing safe, easy to use, and easy to install. We literally put this in about 2.5-3 hours, and we're pumping fuel last night into these school buses.
And that's how quick a school board can switch from traditional diesel or gas to a much cleaner fuel. And this is what I love about propane. It is so nimble.
Absolutely. It's, not only that, it's cost effective. I mean, we're talking about less than half the price of diesel fuel with some government rebates. It's a 37 cents a gallon that the school district gets back. That's putting their fuel cost in the $1.20 or so a gallon range. It's really crazy. You're talking about 4-gallon diesel. And propane is the emissions on propane are 96% cleaner than diesel fuel. So the kids that are riding these buses aren't ingesting that NOx that's coming off of those diesel buses. It's good all the way around.
I can remember riding the school bus, at Lake Harbin Elementary School and Morrow Junior High. The buses would, especially in the winter, they would pull up to the front of the school in the bus line. There would be a little awning to keep us out of the rain, but the school bus drivers kept the buses idling, and the fumes, and we didn't have propane back then, the fumes would kind of congregate underneath that. And I mean, I was certainly breathing that.
Absolutely. And studies have been done to show that when using alternative fuel buses, electric, propane, it does affect the kids' learning ability. It's something that is not just environmental. It's not just it's for the kids. These buses with propane are extremely safe. And they're quiet. Have you ridden in one yet, Tim? You need to get in one this morning if you can. The driver can actually speak, and the kids hear it in the back of the bus. That's a big deal for the drivers, so they love it too.
Well, I had an E350 propane van that my campaign used in 2016, so I drove it all over the state. So I am aware of the decibel difference between a gasoline engine and a propane engine. It's quieter even than that.
Absolutely. I mean, propane's 108 octane. It's extremely efficient. You don't lose anything. You don't lose power. You don't lose torque. I don't really know that I'm driving propane or gasoline, to be honest. I mean, so
let's talk about this challenge that utilities are having. I regulate Georgia Power along with my colleagues. You mentioned three-phase power, the difficulty of maybe getting it put into a bus depot, and it's certainly not cheap.
No, absolutely. The reason we started working towards this solution several years ago is because I had a customer who wanted to go forward with propane, but just running the power was going to be $30,000. It wasn't in their budget. With this solution, we take that completely off the table. And when we're taking advantage of some of the federal tax incentives, I mean, we get 30%, a 30% tax credit on the installation of these things. So we're able to offer it to the schools as just part of their fuel price. They don't pay for this. We provide it as just part of the service. So there's really no capital outlay for a school to do this as far as the infrastructure on the propane goes.
Well, check our Twitter feed at Matters Radio, and you'll see pictures of both these units. Monty, how can folks find out more about Thompson Gas?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, thompsongas.com. They can certainly call. There's an 800 number there they can call. My number's on there. They can call me directly. I'm actually in South Carolina, but I cover Georgia as well. And we're working with with many, many schools in Georgia to make this happen.
This is Tim Echols at the Georgia Association of Pupil Transportation event with Monty of Thompson Gas. Stick around, another segment coming up in just a minute. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Echols and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Echols, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities demand schedules, and they're experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Hey, Tim Echols back. You know, this segment with Thompson Gas and talking about being able to bring propane in, help a school board be able to get propane. I mean, DeKalb County has used everything. They've tried everything. They are absolute experts at anything alt fuel. And sometimes, you know, the situation is that you just can't electrify. You've got to go with the next best thing.
Yeah, and that's true kind of anywhere. And, you know, it's great to hear about DeKalb County's experience and other cities and counties across the state that have done these kinds of things, because when you're trying different technologies, you learn what works and what doesn't for different duty cycles, right? I mean, we started out the show talking a little bit about, you know, DeKalb County's fleet. I mean, Ted, from where you sit as a commissioner, sort of what have you learned about these different technologies as far as vehicle fueling?
Well, the biggest impediment is that the heavy vehicles, they don't really make them yet. They can do electric, and so you're looking for either diesel powered or maybe some other alternative fuel. So really the initial transition for us, the day-to-day, you know, the planning and sustainability, the arborists, you know, the permit inspector just driving, who just needs a car, you know, or a sanitation crew that really just needs a pickup truck, you know, from site A to site B, and they're really going to be on site for a couple hours, not driving around consistently all day. So I think to the point, it's just like there's the right use of each vehicle. Police vehicles are probably the biggest challenge, although I drove the Ford Mach-E police cruiser, and we lent one to our public safety director to give it a test drive, mm-hmm. you know, try it out for a couple of months. He thought it was pretty cool. So I think we get more officers driving in those things, they're going to see and embrace the electric police cruiser.
It's interesting because, you know, I did many years ago, I live in the city of Decatur, sits in DeKalb County, county seat. I did the public safety, I forget what they call it, but it's basically, you know, the 101, right? They invite citizens in to learn about what police and fire do. And I did a ride along with an officer. And, you know, a couple of things. One, that car is running basically 24/7, right? I mean, it's their office. It needs to be comfortable. You know, you need the heat or the air conditioning on. And he was saying that they fill those up about once a day. but we didn't go all that far, right? And so an electric vehicle is perfect for that use case, right? You get the air conditioning, you get the heat, you get the power, and it's a lot more efficient than sitting there and idling a big V8 engine just to provide those things to make sure that the officer can do their job.
Especially if it's a canine unit. If you go to the state capitol and you pull up beside the parking deck, there is an SUV sitting there with a dog in it, and that thing idles all day. They have to. They have to protect the dog. But if it was electric, it would run all day, Ted. It would run all day right there with zero emissions.
Exactly. And they're already parking near the building. They could just plug it in probably, too.
Sounds like a good use.
We've solved everything here.
This would be the perfect use case for our first Rivian SUV police vehicle.
I like
Casey,
it.
In the state of Georgia.
No, I like it. And, you know, maybe get it produced here locally and, I mean, have the battery produced up the road on from SK Innovate. I mean, we could do like an all-Georgia police vehicle with the Rivian. I like it.
Well, Ted, let's talk about this shirt you're wearing, okay? Yes. This is so it's a stream, and it says, Think Global, DeKalb Green New Deal, Act Local. What's this all about?
So this image actually is the South River Forest and the South River Watershed.
Oh my
so
goodness.
That is a specific location in DeKalb County that is at risk, and it's a vulnerable watershed. The South River goes all the way down to Rockdale and Newton. Eventually, it hits the Altamaha, the Okmulgee, and all the way out to the Atlantic Ocean. And so our water systems, our river sheds are incredibly precious. We have to protect them every step of the way. We just had our DeKalb Green New Deal Summit here over in Clarkston on Saturday. We had 185 attendees. We had speakers talk about conservation development, about tiny homes and sustainable housing, about productive urban landscapes and edible, sustainable native landscapes. We talked about bicycle trails and alternative transportation other than car dependency. And the crux of what the Green New Deal is about is not some big federal program that's going to come in and tell you what to do. And I know that gets kind of confused a lot in the media, but the way we view the DeKalb Green New Deal is it's our Green New Deal. It's not about what anyone else thinks should happen. Good example, like there's no wind turbines in our marketing because we'll never have wind turbines in DeKalb County. Now we'll have solar panels, we'll have electric vehicles, we'll have sustainable developments, we'll have walkable trails, we'll have composting, we'll have watershed protection, bioswales, rain gardens.
Glass recycling,
yes, and recycling, and everything that we can do locally. And we believe that, in particular, that when we address energy burden, energy efficiency, that these are green jobs. We literally can create 10,000 new jobs over the next 25 years. Can't be outsourced, and AI can't do them. This is skilled work that has to be done on people's homes, on buildings, in the community.
Ted has led the way on a lot of things. And I remember when we first met and he was working with some of our unions, our building trades union, the folks that finished Plant Vogtle, the folks that, frankly, we would not have completed it without IBEW and the building trades union. And he went to Clarkston and he brought energy efficiency there and a lot of other great programs. And now he's moved up to be the super commissioner in DeKalb County, and he is helping lead the way in, I think, what will become the gold standard for many counties in Georgia. Casey?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see the work. And Ted, you know, as you kind of reflect on your career and what you've done, it seems like there is this through line of sustainability. I mean, do you see it that way, or is it more complicated, or like how do you see your through line, right?
Commissioner Eccles has been a public servant for many years now, and you never finish the job, right? You try to get to a point where you're making progress, but you're never done. And so what we're talking about with sustainability is not something where, oh yeah, we bought some electric vehicles, installed some solar panels, we're done.
Check the box.
It is about a way of life. It is about just changing a system to be better for our people, our environment. You know, we had a little cartoon that talked about, you know, someone came to our summit and you know, they stood up in the back and they said, you know, what if climate change is a hoax and we create a better world for nothing? That's one of my favorite cartoons, because at the end of the day, we're talking about cleaner air, cleaner water, green jobs, livable cities, preserving our forest, healthier children, and leaving what we found better, better than we found it. And you know, Commissioner, you've been to the Tecton Training Center in Clarkston. We have been hiring dozens of local Clarkston residents, many who are refugees, some who actually have been in countries like Syria where civil war has erupted over the last several years, brought on by the climate crisis. And one of our individuals who runs the program, his name is Malik. He's a Syrian refugee from several years ago, but he has since moved into this position where he's training other refugees to do energy efficient work, you know, insulation, caulking the windows and doors, just the low hanging fruit of what, you know, Georgia Power talks about all the time, helping our American and native-born residents and our refugee residents save hundreds of dollars a year on their power bill.
Casey, just a couple more minutes left. I remember going to this facility in Clarkston and meeting an Iraqi immigrant who was a great master wood carver, and he carved me a state seal of Georgia.
Yeah. Wow.
Big one, and I gave him a $500 donation for it. I mean, he did it, you know, just because he wanted to bless me. But there's no way I was not paying him, Ted, for that. But yep. But there's so many good things happening down there as these people come into our country and they want to work and they want to support themselves. And Casey, I mean, it's not too far from where you live down there.
No, I ride through Clarkston regularly on my bike, and it's a great community and really wonderful to see all of the entrepreneurial spirit that comes with the refugee. These are people who've been through some really tough times individually and with their families, but the spirit that they bring, that entrepreneurship and the sense of community, I mean, I'm sure you've lived it in a way that others haven't, Commissioner.
It's a real blessing. We, Clarkston and DeKalb County, have been receiving refugees for 40-plus years. These are all legal immigrants. They've gone through every level of security vetting and FBI and Homeland Security background checks. It's mostly women and children. It's families. The great blessing, I would say, is that the individuals that come here, they have been forced out of their homes for good. They're not being able to come back to where they came from. And so they're new Americans. We call them new Americans. They are treated as new Americans. They're on a pathway to citizenship. And they're providing an employment base for DeKalb County and Georgia that it cannot be understated.
Casey, one of the things I love about what they've done down there is all these apartment complexes, they have allowed people to have their own gardens in the green space of these, mm-hmm. To grow their own native peppers, their own native vegetables, so that they get a little bit of home right there. And I've been a big supporter of Friends for Refugees, an organization there that has a highly engineered bioswale garden that they rent. It's not some commune. They rent a little piece of it to a person for a small amount, and they can till and harvest their own plants there. Ted, just in the last 30 seconds here, just let folks know where they can contact you and find more about some of your great ideas.
Yes, I'd welcome anyone who certainly lives in DeKalb County or is a, you know, stakeholder in DeKalb to go to CommissionerTedTerry.com. All of my information is there. And any other folks listening who have county commissioners, city council members, mayors, who you want to encourage them to kind of be more green, sustainable, work on the things we're working on, I'm always available to talk to our fellow elected officials and support them however I can.
Hey, we've got to hold him over, Casey, for the hippie segment. Do one more. Got to have Commissioner Terry in here. This is Tim Echols. Hang around for us. One more segment, the hippie segment, coming up. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced, emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill. Simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at SolarSunWorld.com. SolarSunWorld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. It really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Eccles back one more segment with Commissioner, Super Commissioner Ted Terry. Why do y'all call it Super Commissioner, by the way?
I have no idea. We just split the county in half. I got two Super Commissioners. I got the western half of DeKalb.
Okay, so you got the western. Some commissioners have a smaller district, though, right?
That's right. We have five district commissioners, two Super Commissioners on top of those districts.
Yeah, and Michael Thurman is your CEO. And why do y'all call that CEO instead of chairman?
It is literally a county executive form of government. That's we're the only one in Georgia. There's like maybe about a dozen around the country. And it's sort of like a strong mayor, basically, just called a county executive.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is the hippie segment. We play a 70s song. You at home kind of think what energy policy or issue relates to it, and then we'll share our thoughts. Okay, here's the first song. Here we go. All right. You know, Casey, rocking the boat. That's, you know, a lot of people that I work with in my life, engineers and others like that, they don't want any rocking going on, especially utilities.
Yeah, you know, utilities, they want to keep the lights on. They want to keep the gas flowing. They're conservative by nature. They don't want to rock the boat. Tim, I just have to point out that we're doing a hippie segment with you, who have admitted on air that you are not a hippie.
And, but I knew hippies.
Well, you knew hippies. Okay, so you're the most credentialed of all of us, because I'm a little bit too young to have grown up in that era. Uh-huh. And then we're joined here by the man who was formerly known as the Millennial Mayor. So anyway, just, yeah, we'll take that into account as we go through this.
Well, Ted, would you hear the song? I mean, I've watched you kind of rocking the boat a little bit. Have you ever turned over in the boat from all the rocking you do?
You know, it's a great metaphor. I mean, you know, you got people you elect to steer the boat.
Uh-huh.
And then you got people in the boat that right now things seem calm and fine, but they look ahead and they see rapids.
Mm.
And someone's trying to get the captain's attention, to get the politician's attention.
Ooh,
and sometimes you got to rock the boat so they see what's ahead.
Ah.
And if the boat tips over, hopefully everyone works together to turn it back up. Or maybe it needed to tip over because they went the wrong way.
Casey, you ever done one of those little whitewater rafting things? Have you ever fell out of the boat in those things?
I don't think I've fallen out, but I've definitely been on whitewater rafting trips where people have fallen out and everyone gets together to get that person back in the boat. I love that metaphor, Ted. That was a great way of dealing with that that song.
Oh, wow, Ted. That's phenomenal. I have fallen out of whitewater rafting, and I went on a Paddle Georgia trip with a cedar strip canoe that my buddy built, and I turned over in that thing, and I thought I was going to die. It didn't have any flotation device. It was about a $4,000 canoe. I mean, it was pristine. It was the only wooden vessel on the entire flotilla, and everybody had passed us because we were slow. And fortunately, you know, it got pinned up a tree to a tree underwater, and we were able to rescue it. But man, I thought I was going to die. I had one of those blow up life vests that when it hits the water, the CO2 went off.
I had it
too tight and it started choking me. I mean, it was like a total disaster. Okay, let's go to our second song. Here we go. Thank you. Ted, are you an Earth, Wind, and Fire fan at all?
You can be sure.
Honest. Yeah. No, you can be honest. You can say no.
Yes-ish. Oh,
yeah. So, I mean, actually, had you ever heard that song before?
I'm sure I have.
Yeah, Casey, have you heard that song before?
Absolutely. I'm just shocked that Ted is not. He's sort of a lukewarm. Like, how can you not be an Earth, Wind, and Fire fan?
From the 60s and 70s. Yeah.
And Casey, your wife, she likes this band, right?
Oh, absolutely.
What does she do over there at the school?
Yeah, so, you know, she does, with September, she teaches the kids early on in the school year that's the Earth, Wind, and Fire drill. So whenever she plays September, it's to, like, raise the energy. They all get up and dance for a little bit, and you know, then they can go back to learning math.
Well, I have to take this moment to say that Georgia is a shining star. Ted, the economic development work that's been done by so many internationals. We have a team of internationals who speak just about every language, who are out there bringing people to Georgia. And folks, if you aren't learning a little bit of Korean yet, you should, because they are coming here in a big way. Right, Ted?
Absolutely. It's a great time to be in Georgia. We, in a lot of ways, have formed a bipartisan agreement that there's a lot of things we can be doing with economic development, sustainability, our environment, that are going hand in hand. And I feel very fortunate to be here, have commissioners like yourself and many others who are trying to find common ground and, you know, lift up all of our residents, our customers, our constituents who have elected us to not just lead them, but to advocate for them and to support their lives and their quality of life.
Absolutely. Casey, what does this song remind you of?
I mean, Tim, this has got to bring to mind our friendly neighborhood star, the sun. And, you know, as we talk about Georgia being a shining star, solar in the state is definitely part of that brilliance, right? We are one of the largest states in terms of installed solar capacity. We've got a lot of, we just did a couple of years ago, Solarize Decatur DeKalb 2.0. I think we've done well over a megawatt of distributed solar. There, I don't even know how many megawatts are on from Georgia Power. They just released a new RFP, but man, solar is doing phenomenal things in the state.
Yeah, we're going to be fourth in the nation next year. It has been incredible. Well, we got one more song here in the hippie segment. See if you can play along and see what this classic is all about. Okay, I'm going to admit it, that I skated to this song as a seventh grader at the skating rink, the Skate Palace, we called it, in Clayton County, down in Morrow, Georgia, growing up, you know, before I had a driver's license, before I had any freedom at all. I would go to the Skate Palace and on Friday night, and we did some serious skating to the Jackson 5.
And this is when you had long flowing hair and tie-dye shirts.
I did not have long flowing hair. I have been a goody-goody all of my life. I don't drink. I don't take drugs. Never have. Don't smoke. You know, and what do in my life? I'm a regulator, right? So I fine people for hitting gas pipelines. And, you know, I'm setting priorities for the grid with my colleagues and working with them. So, Ted, when you think about the Jackson 5 and the ABC song, what comes to your mind?
So many things come to mind. Let me just take a moment to say, a thanks to our workers and the workers who, whether they've been our union folks, the building trades at Plant Vogtle, or the line men and women who keep our utility, grid resilient. That's something, one, that they've done a great job at. We need more of them. Whether it's across our own DeKalb County government sector, the green industry, the utility sector, we need more workers. And so let's support the workers that we've got, and let's keep that pipeline of training coming on.
Casey?
Well, just a plug for that. There's lots of opportunity for electricians in this clean energy transition. And, ABC is a stand-in for simplicity. And I think that's what a lot of customers want. And I think about the EV charging plugs, the fact that there are so many out there. We need more electricians to install charging plugs. We are thankfully starting to standardize on one plug, so you don't have to worry about J1772 and CCS and CHAdeMO. It's coming, but we need that simplicity.
It really shouldn't be so hard to get along with people, Ted, to serve people, to work together. I mean, you and I are very different. We are very different. Yeah, here we are having a great time in the studio together, and really for the last 10 years we have worked together. So thank you so much for being on Energy Matters. How can folks find out about the work you're doing?
Well, just check me out at CommissionerTedTerry.com, and if anyone has any questions, ideas, wants to get involved, just feel free to reach out.
Casey, thanks for being on the show again today. How can folks find out about Escalent, your company?
Yeah, just head to Escalent. That's Escalent.co.
If you want to have us play a certain hippie song, just hit us up at Matters Radio, and we'll play that song and have a great time. Thanks for listening to Energy Matters this weekend with us, and I hope you have a great rest of the day. This is Tim Echols. You've been listening to Energy Matters.
Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.